Yes, it is the Morning Crossfire on the nation's number one talk news and sports radio station, 99.3 Nigeria, in for 3 minutes, come past the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming you again to our conversations on this side of the clock. We're going to be looking at the appeal court judgment so far and all that has led to INEC cancellation of this election, the reconfiguration, the inspection by both the APC, the Labour Party and the PDP, and of course now where we are, the elections being shifted to the 18th. Joining me live via telephone is Liboros Oshoma. He is a constitutional lawyer. Also, I'm being joined by Paul James. Paul James is the program manager, Election Yaga Africa. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Good morning.
Good invitation.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us. Liboros, I'm going to start with you because of the legalities that surround all of this. Apparently, the PDP is in court. The APC is in court. The Labour Party is in court. INEC also went to pray the court to vary on, you know, the issue of inspection so that they could reconfigure the beavers. In fact, the idea that many of us had gotten was that if this reconfiguration was not possible, then we may have had to conduct the governorship elections without the beavers. But on the other hand, you know legally that that's not possible because the Electoral Act insists that we must use the beavers, even though that was not necessarily what happened across the country on February 25. But why do you think INEC has decided to push this election?
Yeah, to lay the foundation, thank God you said it's a constitutional matter.
Mm-hmm.
INEC materials, though you can brand them as public documents, but for you to inspect the materials,
mm-hmm.
you must get a court order. You must get a court order. You can't just march to INEC and say, because I participated in an election, so allow me to inspect your materials.
Mm.
INEC will not allow you. So to that extent, all the parties, they have not even filed their petition. So all of them had applied to court to say, court, grant me an order for INEC to open their doors to me to enable me inspect the materials used for the election and make certified true copies
mm-hmm.
of same for the purpose of conducting my case at the tribunal. And so the court granted an order saying those materials should be, the Labour Party and the PDP should be allowed to inspect those materials, and the materials should not be tampered with.
Mm-hmm.
And INEC went back to court to say, because why you have the power to grant this order, but please vary the order so that because this beavers were configured, according to them, I'm not an IT expert now, for the presidential election. They would carry presidential election code, transmission, dates, and all of those things. So please, if you say we shouldn't even touch them, that means we will not be able to reconfigure dates, reconfigure codes for the next election.
Mm-hmm.
So the opposition parties went to court that the order should not be varied. The court ruled that INEC has placed sufficient facts before it, why it should vary the order. And this fact is to the fact that any information stored on the device cannot be wiped. They are already saved at the back end and can be retrieved at any time. And so, to that end, those information are still there. So the court said, well, that fact had not been controverted by either the PDP or the Labour Party. And so they will grant the order. But because in their counter affidavit, Labour Party had requested again that INEC should grant them the order to assess, make photocopies, and the court said, well, we have granted you that order.
Mm-hmm.
Granting it again, it's unnecessary repetition and abuse of court process. So, we have granted you the order to inspect, make copies, and get certified two copies of this document and process, including the beavers, including the information on the beavers. So that was what transpired in court. And INEC, in his wisdom, said, now the court haven't given them opportunity to go reconfigure, that between today, Thursday, and Friday was too short for them to reconfigure 170-something thousand beavers.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to postpone that election. So it was a legal conundrum that was solved timely so as not to affect the authenticity and veracity of the governorship election, because if those machines have not been used, mind you, copious sections of the Electoral Act makes reference to the accreditation, the use of technology for accreditation,
mm-hmm.
and overvoting. If you remember Anshun's case,
yes,
it's when the number of actual voters is more than the number of accredited voters,
yeah.
unlike the previous rule that talks about actual voters and number of registered voters.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have created a legal quagmire if those beavers were not used. And all the elections conducted thereunder would have been contested keenly mm-hmm. on that ground alone. So I think that was what happened.
All right, I'll come back to you, Liberus. Let me go to Paul. Paul, now Yaga Africa had put out a statement asking yeah. INEC to push this election, to postpone the election. Many had thought that this was not a great idea because, again, INEC and the people are not actually, you know, on the same page. People are a bit wary of INEC. Too many raised eyebrows as a result of yeah. what happened on the 25th of February. So my question is, now that the elections have been postponed, what would Yaga be proposing be done in preparation for March 11 to avoid whatever happened on the 25th of February and reoccurring on March 11?
So first, I think we need to get one thing clear. That wasn't a statement from Yaga, but a comment by individual that also worked with Yaga. And that's also based off the fact that the individual has read the signs, also knowing how fully well how INEC operates, the individual thinks that INEC may not be fully ready to go ahead with the elections. Some of us even reach out to the to the INEC officials whilst all of this lingers, and specifically one of the directors has hinted that for states like Lagos, INEC may need up to 7 days to be able to reconfigure all the beavers for Lagos, that even if the court had granted their prayers on Wednesday, they don't think they may either go with staggering the elections or not conduct the elections and will push the elections forward. I think it was on the basis of that individual was pushing for, was making those kind of comments. But having said that, we're hoping that lessons have been learned from from the February elections. One, we first have to commend INEC for the effort. What the commission had tried to do this time was to print all sensitive materials in country. And what happened was the efforts to move these materials closer to where people will use them. If you are based on the data we gathered in the week of the election, by Wednesday, by Thursday, these materials have all hit capitals and have started going to the local government headquarters. On the eve of the election, we heard there were concerns. For instance, I am in Abuja here. In the Buhari Area Council of Abuja, we approached the INEC official, that the electoral officer, and he hinted that they are the sense that would be a potential problem on election day, and some of the officials, adult officials, and even the transporters were insisting on getting cash because of the cash crunch, of course. They were insisting on getting cash before they deployed. It was said that on election day, even in Abuja, we got location that as of 10 a.m., 11 a.m., they had yet to commence accreditation. Before the election, I kept promising Nigerians that they were ready. And we pushed to understand to what extent were they ready, because we know there were concerns about assessing fuel, fuel scarcity, there was cash, the cash crunch. We approached to understand the veracity of how they are ready. The commission said, oh, it was in conversation with the central bank, and the central bank had promised to give them cash. Mm. It was also in conversation with the petroleum market, and they are all going to get access to fuel that they will be able to use to transport materials on election day. Mm. But up to this moment, there has not been audit. INEC has not come out to provide that clear communication or provide information to Nigerians as to what actually happened. Other than the technological glitch that they keep making reference to, which is also shrouded in mystery that we're yet to understand, we thought that should be an unambiguous communication so that Nigerians, we will learn how to manage expectations. Mm. And as much as I know we all expect the elections to happen on February 25th, I don't think we should all just be in a rush to tick the box to say, for the first time, INEC was able to break the jinx of not postponing election. If INEC was not ready, I thought INEC should have informed Nigerians so that all of this that we saw on February 25th wouldn't have happened. But having said that, from the technology point, the court has granted their permission. Nigerians want to know that INEC will be able to upload all polling unit level results. The assurance is very important because we saw how that has helped to inspire confidence in the Osun election, in the AKT election. Okay. Now, INEC has also committed that the polling unit level accreditation will be uploaded on the IRS. Because of course, the glitches that happened the last time, people didn't pay attention to that. But I'm sure very many Nigerians want to pay attention to that at this point. So INEC needs to also be very clear about what it intends to do. Okay. Another point is the number of collected PVCs. It's going to be on the basis of that this election will be completed. And what we got before the general election was the number of PVCs collected per state. INEC didn't provide polling unit level details. And I thought if we are going to have a legal challenge in the future, they likely also be on the basis of that. People don't have information to be able to push their cases in court. Okay. Perhaps INEC will begin to become a party in all of the suits. So to avoid that, I think the very first thing that must happen is a clear and unambiguous communication or information about the level of preparedness of the commission for the election.
Okay. Liboris, I'm coming back to you. Samson Itodo of Young Africa had a few things to say about the secrecy, the lots of things being shrouded in secrecy at INEC. Again, the Vanguard newspaper gathered that following the violence that characterized, the last election, some of the ad hoc staff from INEC are afraid to come out and conduct the March election. So they don't just have logistic problems. They don't have beaver problems. They don't also have a trust deficit problem. They have a security problem. Again, I want to ask, what can 1 week do to solve all the problems that INEC has on its plate right now?
Yeah, the issues of, let's start from logistics. My friend and brother, the guy from Yaga Africa, talks about, where to move around. Where to move their vehicles, cash to pay adult staff, who were also insisting that these monies paid into account to assist them. So I think that had been reduced drastically now. I think FUE is relatively available. And so, even though not nationwide,
The FCT is having fuel scarcity issues as we speak.
Yeah, okay. So that's why I said, even though not nationwide, but the election is not just in the FCT. Lagos have been relaxed to a very large extent, and some other places, even though the price is high. Cash also, with the Supreme Court judgment, I think from yesterday, I also see banks distributing old notes, even though, because there is no statement from the presidency, a lot of people are still skeptical in accepting its usage.
Yeah.
So that's, those two problems definitely will not be as pronounced as it was in the last election, because that basically was also a major problem. Because if you are not able to move materials, and then secondly, like we said in the election, INEC created RAC centers, created under Jega as the INEC chairman. The essence of RAC centers were to ensure that materials moved from the local government closer to the polling unit, like on Thursdays. And then, so it becomes easy to move them on the day of election to the polling unit. So, I do not know, because I didn't hear most of the journalists on the field reporting that materials had arrived at RAC centers Thursdays, like it used to be. You remember from the 2015 election?
Yeah.
You know, for those of us that were on the field that covered the election, by Thursdays, we were reporting that INEC were moving non-sensitive materials to RAC centers. So if those materials are already at the RAC centers at those times, it becomes easy to reach, you know, most of the polling units that are far from the local government. You know, so those, I think INEC need to reintroduce, you know, RAC centers. I think what one of the reasons why those RAC centers, you know, also didn't quite function in the last election was the insecurity problem that you talk about. Yeah, insecurity problem and challenges were also identified in, you know, so many areas. But one very huge factor about insecurity challenge is the fact that not the insecurity before the election is the disruption of voting and ballot material while the election is going on. You know, in Lagos, we saw how the army, the military were able to disturb peace in so many areas. But I do not think that also that happens, you know, in other areas. The eastern part here, because of the influence of the labor candidate, you would say a lot of the voters, you know, had to take their destiny in their hands and ensure that there was peace. In some villages where there was no security at all, none. So if places like that, you have challenges, and definitely, certainly, you know, this security situation is going to collapse. So I think and that INEC needs to ensure a more robust collaboration with the entire security stakeholder. And for the use and configuration of the beavers, because the challenge is that it's not just about configuration of the beaver. It's also in this area that you have identified. And on the voter, you know, the pressure is not so much on the governorship and House of Assembly election the way it is on the presidential election. The presidential election is seen by all of us as one big local government election that a lot of people must participate. Even though you look at, if you look at the numbers, the data, it will shock you to know that less than 40% of the total number of people who collected PVCs actually voted. And the winner of the election, the overall winner of the election, won with less than 10% of the total number of PVCs collected. So that, for me also, is a big challenge. It means that people, either we don't participate in democracy, or the fact that our numbers are overbloated, and so we really need to look at those numbers. So all of these are issues that I think INEC would be looking at. But it is quite unfortunate that once we fix dates like this, and so we work day and night to meet those dates, but at the end of the day, it is obvious on the day of the appointed election, it's obvious that we truly were not ready at all.
Okay.
So that brings me now to the issue of, you know, why don't we introduce and innovate, you know, more technology in the process.
In 1 week, Liborous, in 1 week.
I'm not talking about this 1 week.
Okay.
To eliminate manual, you know, processes that, you know, subsequent election, not just 1 week.
Yeah.
You know, it brings me to, if we believe that this data are sacrosanct and we don't want a situation where you consistently have to look, you know, behind you, whether the election will be postponed or not, we need to find innovative ways of conducting our election using technology. I can tell you also, what are the complaints we are like? The usage of beavers, was what caused the upset that you saw in the last election.
Mm.
It is the usage of beavers for accreditation, to accredit the actual voters. Unlike before, where people would just sit down in a room and begin to thumbprint, ballot papers. So all of these challenges, I think INEC, has certainly appreciated,
okay.
And they would be able to minimize. And then the trust of the people is another big challenge. But the people now have resolved that they will not allow what happened before to repeat itself. So INEC also should be very ready for that, especially now that they've been granted order to reconfigure the visa.
Yeah.
Some persons are scared that the reconfiguration might tamper with, but INEC has said, no, that's not true.
Okay.
So there is going to be a pushback from the people. And if not properly managed, it might also lead to breakdown of security and order.
Okay.
Area.
All right. Well, Liboris, I have some more questions for you and Paul, but we have to go for a quick break. When we come back, there are certain polling units, not in Lagos, but in several parts of the country, that did not have any INEC presence. What about those issues? Will they be addressed? When will they be addressed? And how can we continue with this electoral processes if those issues are not addressed? And that's what we'll be talking about when we come back from the break. Liboris Oshoma, Paul James, we'll be right back after this break. Stay with us. All right, the morning crossfire is still on. We still have Liboris Oshoma and Paul James on the line with us. Gentlemen, so that I can let you go quickly because we're almost out of time, I did ask a question before we went on that break. There are those who think that genuinely this elections, the governorship and House of Assembly elections need to be suspended, entirely, and the issues that bedevil the 25th of February's election be dealt with. There are those who are of that opinion because there are several issues. Like I said, there are places like Imo State where no electoral officer was found, nobody came for the elections, and yet they saw their results uploaded on the IREV portal. If these issues aren't addressed, why should we be having or going ahead with other elections? I'll start with you, Paul.
So, I think I understand the grounds and I understand the Nigerians, especially when you think about the resources that have been committed and the kind of expectations that people had for the elections. At Yaga, we deployed observers to all the 774 local governments. And I can tell you that in 20 of the polling units that we did deploy observers, INEC didn't show up. INEC told Nigerians in places where the beavers did not work to return on Sunday, that INEC was going to conduct election on Sunday, and yet INEC didn't show up as well. That's, I think, more than enough to also dampen citizens' confidence in INEC and in also the process. But let's also not forget that there are people that have also mobilized to go and engage the process. In fact, even this postponement by 1 week, I am sure will affect a lot of Nigerians, people that have traveled to their states or to their country, for instance, to participate in the process, will begin to think about how to get, for instance, extension from work and all of that. I think Nigeria should allow INEC to go ahead with the elections, but on the assurance that the commission is ready and those concerns that bedeviled the last election would not occur again. Not also forgetting, even before the elections, questions were asked whether INEC would be able to conduct elections in every location. What the commission told Nigerians was that they were not going to conduct elections in 240 locations because they had not assigned any voter to those locations. But we know there are places with security concerns. Before the election, we made effort to recruit observers. And I can tell you that across 9 states, though some of them in the Northwest, we made effort to go to some specific polling unit. And you realize that some of these communities have been ransacked by bandits. And so people are no longer living in the communities. in the southeast, for instance, places like Ohaku, I think in Ebonyi State, Ihiala in Anambra State, we could not recruit observers also because of the ongoing insecurities in those locations. So if you look at all of this and you also put this side by side with what happened in 2015, that election had to be postponed by 6 weeks because of insecurity. Perhaps INEC would have done all of this mapping with security agencies, and if it was not ready enough, then INEC perhaps could have postponed the elections. But INEC went ahead with the elections. The biggest threat we saw to the election was the concerns about INEC logistics and how it has managed the resource transmission process. I think if these two have improved in the election, perhaps all of these things, the ill feelings we have about the election, we may see a turnaround from that.
All right, Liberos, in a few minutes, what do you share the sentiments of those who say put a halt to it and deal with the issues once and for all, as opposed to going ahead with another election and then maybe coming up with the same pocket of issues, because INEC is still hampering on logistics and security issues.
So if we understand that
Liberos. Liberos, go ahead.
Yeah, Miriam, INEC had 4 years to prepare for the general election because the end of one election cycle begins another one.
Yeah.
INEC fixed these dates. And despite all of that, the issue of fuel, the issue of cash, when not within the control of INEC, all of this happened. And then, but logistics had been a recurrent decimal, you know, with INEC since 1999. So even if you postpone the election for another 6 months, we're not still going to have a perfect election. So let's not delude ourselves. And like Paul has said, a lot of INEC is not just the stakeholder in the election process. I have a friend who traveled yesterday morning to his state in preparation for voting. Mm. Only for me to call him yesterday night, and he was lamenting. You know, so there are so many stakeholders also who would have prepared, made payments, mobilized for this same election. So we have identified the major challenges, the major one. That of insecurity, you can't solve even within 6 months, like places we know are very volatile. Mm. For example, on that day, I never declared materials to Borno, and then the INEC staff were attacked, you know, with mortar prepared rocket, what do you call it? So, all of these things will always happen because these are outside the control of INEC. You remember, there are offices were attacked in certain places,
yes,
and you know, then they said they recovered and, you know, had reconfigured the business of those places. So, considering the grand swell of preparation by all stakeholders, you would say that failure notice, let's say the failure notice were 30%, and 10% would have been taken care of with, you know, by this, both the citizens and INEC. And so, you can't get 100%. So, should we now say, let us jettison the entire democratic process because we have, you know, some percentage of failure that can improve upon. The major concern of people was the inability to upload results, you know, on the IREP portal immediately after conclusion of voting that day. If those results had been uploaded, we would have been complaining about even the areas where materials did not arrive early, you know. People would have, you know, forgiven INEC because they would tell you substantially, you know, they saw some form of transparency. So now that we have identified that, INEC should improve on that ensure that there is no repeat of that inability to upload.
Okay.
And also now, like I said before, you have the old Naira notes in circulation with the new Naira notes. So INEC should also be able to at least make available payment of cash for people who insist for logistic purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So I also expect that where you have those challenges will also be minimal now.
Okay.
So we can't say let's just postpone the election indefinitely because there were failures identified, and the INEC and the stakeholders have said 1 week will be enough to take care of those failures. Even the political parties. The political parties would have spent money, mobilized their supporters, also create awareness, canvass for votes. And now, in Nigeria, there's hunger. You need to respond again for another 1 week. Against all of this backdrop, I think the 1 week window that had been given, INEC should work twice as hard to ensure that those challenges. I see no reason why in places like Lagos, for example, materials should not arrive everywhere. I see no reason why in places like Edo State, Delta State, apart from even Riverine community, how come Riverine community got materials before upland communities? You know, so these are man-made, you know, problems created by some of us who are stakeholders in the process. So I think INEC also should enforce the disciplinary measures, consequences for failure to comply with its rules.
All right.
So that at the end of the day, you know, these processes will be improved upon. But I think that 1 week window is enough, and we should just be vigilant. Vigilance is the price you pay for freedom. So,
well, gentlemen,
vigilance is the price you pay for freedom.
Our time
is fast
spent. Our time is fast spent. I would have continued to, you know, probe more, but then we don't have any more time. But I want to say thank you. Liberos Oshoma is a constitutional lawyer. Paul James is a programs manager, election for Yaga Africa. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Fingers crossed. We'll be watching, of course, waiting to see what happens in the next 1 week. Thank you so much. I appreciate all your time.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, Lagos, I'm going to try to read some of the messages that are coming in because we're almost out of time. But before we do that, let me quickly let you know that we're getting reports of an accident around the Ikeja axis of Lagos. The accident we hear involved a train and a BRT. Permanent Secretary of LASEMA, Femi Oke Osoyintolu, has confirmed to Nigerian for saying emergency services are currently working to rescue victims. He says that the details of the incident will be shared shortly. I would like to also let you know, because we have very little time, I want to read some messages from social media. Okay, let's see if I can take one or two of these messages. Okay, let's see. All right, this one says, I always say that you should, you know, tag the message with MCF so that we can easily tell which one is for us and which one is not for us. Well, unfortunately, most of your messages are mixed up right now and I can't get to all of them. But I want to thank you all for your messages and all your contributions. We have to go, Lagos. We have to go. Don't forget, What's Up just comes up at 10, but at 9 o'clock, Jimmy Disu is going to be here in the studio. And right after that, after What's Up Lagos, we're going to have The Sunny Side with Joyce. And Sandra Zekosili will be here at 3 with Hard Facts. My name is Mary Anna Kohn. Go follow Nigeria Info on all of its social media platforms, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And make sure that you subscribe and like our YouTube page. Download the Nigeria Info FM app so you can take us everywhere you go. My name is Mary Anna Kohn. I'll see you tomorrow on Friday. But follow me on Twitter and Instagram, MIMIEYO, or better still, look for Mary Anna Kohn everywhere else. Have a beautiful day, Lagos. See you tomorrow. Damn.